you can't do more if you're not, if you're having missed assignments. And obviously that's something I think we all talked right after the bye, that we had to minimize missed assignments, minimize those things, and then try to execute at a higher level. You have to do enough to be competitive, enough to score. We got a staff, a really good offensive staff. You can take me out of it, that'd be fit where everybody wants to do. But like, we got what, two Super Bowls with Sully, two with Fredo. We got a lot of good ideas, a lot of good plays. We got really good players. At times we're executing well, at times we're not. But it doesn't matter whose mistake it is, until it's all clean, it doesn't work. That's the beauty and the curse of offensive football. It's 11 men doing their job. And if somebody doesn't do it right, it looks really, really bad.
Matt Canada, we've got a really, really good offensive staff. We've got really good plays. We've got really good players. Memo to Matt. No, you don't. You're 27th in the league in offense. That means there are five teams that have produced less than you guys. And that's it.
You're actually being generous there, Pony. They're 28th in points, which is what matters.
Yes.
Only
okay.
four teams are worse than you.
Do you know who they are? Do you have them? I'm curious now.
I don't, but off the top of my head, I'm going to guess
Texans
Jets.
Texans got to be one.
I'm going to guess Jets. No, they're actually not. I'll find it for you right now. Texans, I believe, are one.
You just said the Texans weren't one.
I'm sorry. No, I said the Jets weren't one.
No.
So let me check Denver. Got to be Denver, right? Denver is dead last.
Yep.
God, do they suck. Texans, let's check them out.
Wait, you can't just sort?
No, because I go like individual team on Pro Football Reference. Texans are 30th. Denver, 32nd. I think here I got one for you. That's worse. You ready? Your defending Super Bowl champions are 29th in the league in
all
scoring
right, I found
offense, Chalooch.
Broncos are 32nd.
Who's 31st? That's
31st
all I need.
Are the Colts.
That's it then.
30th are the Texans.
And
29th
Rams.
Are the Rams.
Yep. I found it pretty quick. Think about that. And the Rams are a complete mess. The Texans have Davis Mills, who just got benched. The Broncos are the kind of team that's so dysfunctional right now that actually makes me feel better about the Steelers. And then that's it.
They're averaging 17 points per game.
And the Colts are what they are. They had Ellinger in there for a couple. So if Matt
really good offensive staff, really good plays, really good players.
Okay, so you know who gets blamed, I guess, then? Isn't the guy that's sequencing those plays on game day the offensive coordinator to blame? If everybody else is really good that's involved here, my play design is good, my position coaches and offensive staff are good, and my players on offense are good, well, I'm sorry, process of elimination tells me that one person isn't good and it's you on game day.
You know the way that I've butted on coaches before in press conferences?
Yes.
If I were there today and he said that, I would have followed up and said, Matt, so that means that you guys are the most underachieving offense in the NFL, if you believe that. You've got all of these good things going on, and you're a cellar dweller, bottom of the barrel
so
offense.
I wouldn't even ask him that way, because then that could be a chance for him to get on the soapbox and say, you know what, you're right, and I appreciate the question.
Good.
That would be the headline then. No, I would just say this.
Offensive coordinator says we are gigantic underachiever.
I would just say, Matt, if all those things are true, who's the biggest reason, or what's the biggest reason?
He'd probably put it back on himself, and you'd have a huge headline there, too.
Canada, I'm the reason our offense stinks. Which one do you like better, by the way?
I kind of like that one better that
approach?
You just came up with. Because then all the responses and replies would be, you're
yes,
damn right.
Correct. Thank you. Best call of the year by Matt Canada.
Here's a question. What do you think he can do to save his job?
Oh, I think
what can Canada do to salvage things?
Nothing less than not only great performances from the offense, specifically Pickett, where Pickett looks like a totally different guy and a much better quarterback than he's looked like so far. They have to win the games too. Like, I think if the offense plays well but they don't win games, I think like Mike Tomlin, maybe Art Rooney, they'll still look at the totality of the thing and say, no way, you're gone. But he number one on the list has to be Kenny Pickett, just takes an enormous, obvious leap forward the rest of the way. Has to be. Otherwise, I don't, like, if they start running the ball well, Pony, and Pickett's doing some more like typical.
They have run the ball better the last couple
okay,
of games.
Okay, but if say that they like try to play offense the way they did back in Ben's rookie year when it was a different NFL, and they really did try to protect him and limit his attempts, and they started maybe winning a couple of games that way, do you really think that comes back on Canada very much? Pat Meyer would probably be the guy who comes out of that looking the best. He needs to have the quarterback look like a different dude. I'm at the point, too, where given some of Canada's other answers from yesterday when he talked to the media, I'm wondering if he already feels like he's drawing dead. Like, he knows he can't win the hand here. He knows he can't save his job. And that's why you're getting a man who sounded the way he sounded. That he is coaching out the string to one degree or the other. I have to concede that that's a possibility because he sounded more genuinely dejected when he was saying, yeah, everyone wants me fired, I know. He sounded more dejected and genuine about that than he has at any point this season. They've been worse in games offensively. Pickett's been arguably, I think, worse. In fact, I know he's been worse because he played a good first half and then a terrible second than they were against the Bengals. And he has sounded like Mr. Cheery. Here's the other thing. What did we say about Mike Tomlin on Tuesday when we evaluated what
he
said?
That he was way more glass half full and positive
than we've ever heard him.
Yep.
Than we've ever heard him. Aditi said she's covered the team a decade. She's never heard that kind of speech from him, especially after a loss. That when she tried to insinuate that there were positives after the 2013 season when they went 8-4 in their last 12, mm-hmm. that, hey, you know, it's an 8-8 year and he wouldn't have it. Maybe Canada is feeling like the opposite kind of way here. Tomlin understands that some things are fundamentally broken, and Canada knows he's one of them. I think you have to at least accept that possibility.
I also think it could be the exact opposite. I also think, even though I listened to that and thought, man, he does not sound secure or confident in himself, where he's going tit for tat with a guy that he coached in college about the predictability comment, and he's like going out of his way to tell everyone what happened on each play to stand up for himself. You are thin-skinned if you feel like you need to do that.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought of, though, is usually Tomlin, usually he's afraid to say anything, right? Like
Canada is.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to go against Tomlin. But now you've got him just letting it fly a little bit.
I was going to propose if he knows he's safe and he knows that he's got another year on his contract, and the coach is actually finding positivity mm-hmm. and finding good things, is he like, you know what? Actually, I will push it back on fans and media a little bit and be kind of a a-hole.
That one cuts both ways, though. Because if you know you're on your way out, you say, well, I'm not leaving anything in the bag of tricks here.
Chris, the big mystery here on Canada is going to be, will anyone step up and say what I've reported, that there's another year left on his contract? Someone either needs to tell me that I'm wrong about that, or that ownership is willing
to buy it out.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's rebutted the idea that there's another year. In fact, I think what you have said has been taken or reported as correct. Like in everybody's chat that covers the team, they all act like that's the case.
And the Steelers just have a reputation of not firing coaches unless they have real cause for it.
They don't like to pay people not to work.
Now, maybe they look at what's gone on this year and some of the in-house squabbling.
What do you think, it's more of a
stuff?
Rooney call or a Tomlin call at that point? Like, does Art Rooney come down the hall to Mike Tomlin and say, hey, this is tough to watch for me?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because that's another one where I can see it going both ways. We hear so much about how Rooney gives Tomlin, in the front office, gives Tomlin the power to put together his coaching staff, with one notable exception being the Todd Haley situation.
Or what if Omar Khan comes down the hall and says, like, this is unacceptable?
I don't think he would.
Weidel?
I don't think he would either. I don't think he has the juice to do that. If he did, that would make him the most powerful assistant GM the history of the NFL.
I'm kind of like wishing this one into existence, or trying to. I mean, here's where it
goes
to.
I think if Tomlin walked down the hall just like he did with Flores, mm-hmm. and he went down to Art and said, my bad. I thought he was going to be good.
We got to let this guy go. It's going to be counterproductive to keep him. Do you think Art would?
And it's going to cost you a little bit of money to let him walk and hire somebody else, but it's necessary.
It's on me. I won't screw it up again.
I think Art does it.
You think Art would say, okay, I'll do it, but I'm getting involved with the hiring of the next guy?
But I think
Or like Andy is getting involved with the hiring of the next guy.
No.
Omar's getting involved.
Nope.
So it's either Art or Mike Tomlin. So who's Maryland, or who coaches for Boston College right now that they could get?
Jeff Hafley.
I think that if here's the thing with Art going down the hall, like to answer my own hypothetical, I do think Art, if they say they win 7 games, they go 7-10, right? Which would be, what, 4-3 the rest of the way? Nice little over 500 finish for the last 7 games. And Pickett starts to look better. Like, the numbers don't look good at the end of the year, but it's clear he's playing better football. Maybe not spectacular. I think Art would be the kind of guy to pull, like, his usual, hey, any playoff season's a good season here, and take a glass-half-full approach. Why? Because it would be his way of justifying keeping him around instead of doing what we already said they don't like to do.
See, because of the extra year on his contract.
You think they're going to look for positives?
I think two things can save his job. If he convinces or has Tomlin convinced that there were circumstances that contributed to them being a bad offense this year, numbers-wise. And I was going to say if he can convince the quarterback, but I think that's less of a factor.
What if Pickett goes to Tomlin very quietly? Just hear me out here. I want to play this hypothetical out because I had a feeling you were going to mention this part of it. What if Pickett very seriously, and he's got his cubicle, so they know he's working hard. He's not just like trying to call his shot from afar and says, Coach, like I tried to make it work. I know I have a lot of work to do on my own. I just don't feel like there's a connection here. Like I don't feel like I'm going to become the best player that you guys and I want me to be if he's my offensive coordinator. What then? Like, doesn't do it in a jerk way or like I'm making a demand, but says, this is my honest opinion. You guys drafted me and I want to make you look smart.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to, I don't believe he will bring it out of me. If you're Mike Tomlin, I think, and you like Kenny Pickett as much as you said you did when you drafted him, you're derelict of duty if you don't go pound the table in Art Rooney's office.
Yeah,
to say,
I think you're right, because it's not like a Zach Wilson situation where you think your quarterback's a punk.
Right, that's why I said that, because like he's not pulling a Wilson stunt here.
What are the odds you think Kenny would do something like that, though? I think very slim.
Well, that's where I think being like the ultimate football guy actually hurts you, because even if you believe something like that, it's ingrained in your head not to go above the coordinator to the coach and basically say, fire this guy.
What percentage, speaking of percentages, what percentage of our listeners right now do you think are people that are just getting done with work? How many people worked today?
20%. Blue collar types. Thoughts?
If you have...
This is an office full of white collar people except for you, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Office jobs. How many people are in here working?
Very
just
few.
The on-air
Most
staff.
Of the businesses were closed here
the
today.
The business side of the building is not working mm-hmm. today.
Schools are done. How about banks and stuff? Were they open today?
No.
No?
Maybe.
How about did the mail get delivered today?
I mean, Alex worked today. Nurse, blue collar profession.
Absolutely. My kind of girl.
Yeah, I actually saw the mail. The mail woman, I guess. Can you say mail woman?
Sure.
Yeah. The mail woman in the neighborhood. She was out there today. The mail must go through. I think 20%, man. 20, maybe 30 at the high end of our listener base. The rest of them are just drunk on their couches watching Cal UCLA with a giant sandwich that's stuffing
turkey
gravy.
Watching Cal UCLA and Cal is just dressed in Pitt's uniforms.
Which is interesting. Quite a look for them.
Yep.
Yes or no, right this second, is Matt Canada the offensive coordinator for the Steelers next year?
No. But I don't say it with this like unequivocal. I know Pompeiani said he'd be stunned if Canada is back.
Mm-hmm. And I think Bob's pretty well connected.
Yes,
there.
And that's one of the reasons why I want to say no. Not just because I'm trying to wish it or say it
all right.
into existence.
Companion to that really fast here. If he's not, and he's off staff, not just demoted quietly, I think that would be really tough to pull at this point with him, like from year to year. But so say he's gone. Is the coordinator who replaces him somebody not currently on the coaching staff?
Yes.
Is it somebody you and I might actually be excited about? A young up-and-comer?
No.
Is it Jason Garrett?
God, he was so bad in New York.
Didn't stop him from hiring Mike Sullivan.
I love Tirico, and I respect Dungy, but that was a tough listen last night, that broadcast booth. For that Sunday
what didn't you
night,
like about it? Because I actually loved the game itself. I thought the game was really entertaining and compelling.
I just thought it was just such basic commentary.
Do you know what I didn't like that they kept doing? You know, Tirico would tee this up too. Tony's a defensive guy, yep, and Jason's an offensive guy, and here's the each point of view on this play.
I just think Garrett is trying so hard to try. Garrett is trying so hard to sound like he's on TV.
I actually liked Dungy.
It sounds
yesterday.
Like an act.
I actually thought Dungy was fine, and I thought Garrett was the one that really dragged that whole production down.
Did you see? By the way, everyone saw it because the Giants and Cowboys now we're learning was like the most watched regular season game of all time.
Yep, period. Most watched network game regular season ever. 42 million people.
I learned about this. I didn't see it live. Plex tweeted it, and I follow Plex because I love Plex.
Is he still doing OnlyFans?
I don't know. I can DM him and ask him.
Well, congratulations on all your success.
Dak Prescott. The screensaver background on his phone is just him. Where do you come down on this?
Very weird.
I hate it.
I saw it when, was it when they were showing him meeting Olsen's kid?
Yes.
So I was trying to like, I didn't have like the wherewithal to pause the screen and look.
Go to my Twitter. You'll see the Plex tweet. He put me onto it. It's just a picture of Dak in a Cowboys jersey as the background on his phone.
I've got one better in the
No wife, no dog,
just him.
No mom.
What if it was a picture of Campbell's chunky soup?
I'd actually respect that more.
It would be funny. One of my buddies went all-time viral on Twitter. I'm talking well over 100, like into the hundreds of thousands of retweets, likes, yeah, all of it, with the following. He caught like a little video, this is years ago, of Kanye West on his phone, like unlocking his phone. And goes, his password is 000000 because he just hammers the zero button. Put it out there, the video, like almost a million likes on the tweet. What's worse, all zeros password?
Oh, I don't even think it's close. I think you have to be very narcissistic and self-centered and self-absorbed
to put
to
yourself
have a picture of yourself in uniform as your background.
What's your background?
Poppy.
Not Cammy? Just Poppy?
Amanda had Cammy on hers, and I thought in order to be fair and equal.
Oh, yeah, you don't want one dog to...
Right, get a complex.
You don't want one dog who can clearly understand what a phone background is to feel,
yeah,
left,
see,
out.
Just a baby Poppy on,
oh,
there.
Poppy looks so good, though. That's a noble background.